Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston, in-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training that is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Good morning. This is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. And today we're looking at the Word of God, and the topic is the throne of God sat in heaven, from which proceeds the judgment of nations and the judgment of believers. And it is a throne of mercy and grace for those who come in time of need, because we have a high priest, Jesus, going through the heavenlies. So before we examine the throne of God and all its glory, let us pray. Father in heaven, we know that you are the truth. You are the way, you are the truth, you are the life. And you speak truth and grace to our hearts, that we may repent, that we may believe, that we may have access to your grace, that we may stand before your throne, pure and holy. So today, Lord, I pray that you'll give me words that cause the hearts of men and women everywhere to repent, to throw away their sin, to throw away their idols, to throw away their folly, and that people will turn to God in power and glory, that many will be revived as a result of today's message. And I pray that your word will go forth with holy power. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we know that God is real. We know that heaven is real. And we know that the Holy Ghost is real and opens the word of God to us. And we know the prophets of old walked around this earth, and they saw a little bit more of heaven than we do. And one of those prophets was Isaiah in the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. And we'll just look at verses 1 to 8. In the year that King Uzziah died, I then saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphs, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. And the doorposts moved at the voice of the one who cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, having a live coal in his hand, snatched with tongs from the altar. And he laid it on my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. So we find that the throne of God appears to Isaiah, and he sees this glorious throne. He sees the seraphs flying around with them, and each one has six wings, and they're creatures that dart to and forth amongst the fire of God. And there is great authority. And when Isaiah beholds God, he falls on his knees, he trembles, he repents, even though he's a prophet, even though he's in the temple, even though he's in the Holy of Holies, even though he's closely associated with the kings and the court. When he came to the throne of God, all pride was gone. All his status was gone. And what we know of Isaiah, he was highly educated and very noble. Perhaps the most highly educated of all the prophets when you read the book of Isaiah. His ideas are big and they're lofty. And we know he was very much part of the royal court of his time. And yet, despite his high status, despite all the things that he had in his social favor, when he saw God, he was flat on his face, saying, Woe is me, I am undone, for I'm a man of unclean lips, living among a people of unclean lips. And our society can contaminate us. Our society and the people we're around can contaminate us in God's eyes, because we're amongst a people that is violent or is immoral or is greedy or has unclean lips and speak evil things. So we need to repent. We need to get clean before God. And he threw himself on the ground, even though he was a prophet, even though his lips were pure. The angel came, the seraphim came, and put a burning coal to his lips and burned away all the sin and said, there you're pure, you'll speak pure words from now on. And Isaiah did that. But the central thing here is that heaven has a throne at the center. Heaven is not just some large park where we go and play and get our rewards and where we get a harp and we stroll around. No, heaven is a place where we go before the Almighty God. It is the center of the kingdom of God, is a throne of great authority and great power. And we come to a God who is not just cuddly, but who is awesome, who is powerful, and who is full of burning fire. We find this again in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. I watched until the thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days sat. His robe was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like flames of fire, and his wheels like burning fire. A stream of fire went out and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. So here we see the throne of God in the book of Daniel. And as we know, the book of Daniel is about the fate of the nations. And it shows the fate of the empires that were to come. The Medo-Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, and so on. These empires, the Babylonian Empire as well, all these empires would rise and fall. And the thing that would make them rise and fall was the throne of God. The throne of God was energetic. It was powerful. The books were opened before it. And apparently these thrones, including the throne of God, are in a sense mobile. They have wheels. They can be wheeled around heaven. So here the thrones are brought out, the throne of God and the throne of the 24 elders. They're brought out and the books are opened and the nations are judged. So they have these great wheels on them where they can be moved around heaven and set up for the times of judgment. And in Daniel, the thrones are being set up for times of judgment. And I believe the thrones are going into place right now for the judgment of the world in the last days. And God is assembling his courts in heaven. And the books will be opened, and the dead and the living will be judged before them, and the nations will be judged before them. And a mighty time of judgment is going to come over the face of this earth. And we have just seen introductions to it with COVID-19. We have seen introductions to it with wars. We've seen introductions to it with economic turmoil. And the turmoil will not stop until God stops it. God will shake the heavens and the earth in these last days to shake out every last wicked thing and to sift the earth like chaff, like wheat. So the chaff goes to one side and the wheat to another, but not one grain of wheat, not one believer will be lost because of the saving grace of God that strengthens us at all times. So as the thrones are being set up, the heaven is getting ready for the return of Jesus Christ. And that return will be soon. And you need to be pure and holy before the throne of God. You cannot be wicked. You cannot indulge your sin. You cannot indulge idols. You cannot indulge sexual immorality. You cannot indulge violence, hatred, and strife. You must put away war from your heart. You must love your neighbor as yourself. You must walk in the purity of the gospel. Politics does not matter that much. Gospel first. Politics second. You must live like Jesus wants you to live. You must read the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. You must turn the other cheek. You must give abundantly. You must be a person of the grace of God. And you need to get your life straight right now because God has a throne and you will stand before that throne one day to give an account of your life and will look at that in the next broadcast. Today we're just looking at the throne that is there in heaven. And what does the New Testament say about the throne of God? Let's have a look at that. Matthew chapter 5, verse 34. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, because it is God's throne, or by earth, because it is his footstool. So heaven is God's throne, and God's throne is there in heaven, the very essential administrative center of the kingdom of God. And this series we're talking about is about the kingdom of God. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. So Jesus has a throne, The Son of God has a throne, and it is forever and ever. It will never be taken away. His authority remains. Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There is a throne of grace. There's a throne we can come to and put our petitions. We can put our requests. We can ask for mercy from God. We can ask Him to bless our life. And He will extend the scepter and say, now you are blessed. Grace, go to this person. Grace, go to this person that's prayed. And the answers to prayer come from the throne of grace. And we can come to that throne of grace anytime we need, because we have a gracious high priest who sits on it, and our sins are dealt with by the cross. So you have a throne of grace, and if you're a believer, if your sins are forgiven, if you've repented of your sins and you stand before God, you can come to that throne of grace in time of need, and you need to have a regular prayer life, because this life can get chaotic. You need the help of God to help you through all the trials and tribulations of life. So go to the throne of grace, and God will speak authoritative words. He will speak words of power over your life from His throne, and your life will change. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. Now the sum of things which you have spoken is this. We have such a high priest who is sat down on the right of the throne of the majesty in heaven. So here we see the throne mentioned again, and that we have a gracious high priest on that throne. And the throne of heaven is the throne of Jesus, is the throne of grace. Next mention of the throne is Hebrews 12:2. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right of the throne of God. So there are thrones in heaven. The throne of God is there. And we see in Revelation 4 and 5, it's also the throne of the Lamb that sits upon the throne, and his throne is at the right of the Father. But they are one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so Jesus is God in human flesh, the fullness of deity in bodily form. He came to earth, he endured the cross, he despised the same, and he is now conquered. He's conquered over the devil and sin and this earth and this planet and everything negative. And he's sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he's your high priest, he's my high priest. We can go to this all-conquering one for the answers we need in life. And we go to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is coming, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And we find the seven spirits again mentioned in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. These are the Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and might and power and knowledge of the Lord and so on, that are mentioned there in Isaiah chapter 11. So there are seven spirits of God, and it's a symbolic number for perfection. There is one Holy Spirit and there is one God, but the seven spirits are the wisdom of God and the power of God, and the spirits go from God. The Spirit of God goes from God throughout the entire universe, and the Spirit of God can be around you, and the Spirit of God inhabits the kingdom of God and fills churches and humans and lives. Wherever there's a prayer meeting, the Spirit of God will turn up and strengthen people, and the Spirit of God comes from the throne of God. The Spirit of God is not some warm liquid that just floats around the universe making people feel good. The Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit proceeds from the throne, which is a holy throne, and you are dealing with capital G God when you're dealing with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is not magic. The Holy Spirit is not some kind of force that just fills the universe that is independent of morality. The Holy Spirit is holy. The Holy Spirit is moral and righteous and true and good. And if you were to have the Holy Spirit in your life, you have to abandon all sin. You have to abandon wickedness. You have to abandon idols. You have to throw these things away, because the Holy Spirit will not tolerate them. The Holy Spirit wants you to repent. The Holy Spirit wants you to be holy. The Holy Spirit wants you to be full of the grace and power of God and to receive grace from heaven, and not to receive grace from some vague spirit that just makes you feel good while you're at church. The Holy Spirit doesn't just make you feel good when you're at church. The Holy Spirit makes you good as a person. The Holy Spirit makes you holy and strengthens you to do the righteous and good things of God and lead you to the Word of God and the truth of God. So the Holy Spirit comes from the throne, and the throne is all righteous and all pure. And you must know when you pray and when you go into worship that you're dealing with holiness, pure holiness, in the Holy Spirit. Revelation 3 and verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, and even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. There are many, many thrones in heaven. Of course, the big throne is God's throne. And Jesus has overcome and sat down in heaven on his throne at the right hand of the Father. And we will be given thrones and dominions. We will be given authority. And Luke talks about having authority over a certain number of cities if we're faithful. So God will give thrones and authority and power to faithful believers. You need power in your life. You need strength. You need to have authority over evil spirits. You need to have authority that comes forth from the throne of God operating in your life. And you need to be so faithful that God will give you a throne on that day where you will have authority. You will no longer be powerless. You will be powerful, and from your throne you will rule over a certain kingdom. You will rule over an assigned area that God gives you. And when the judgment comes, when this world is finally burned up with fire and a new heavens and a new earth takes its place, you will have a kingdom and authority with God if you are a faithful believer. And you need to hang on to that, because it's worthwhile being holy in the midst of an unholy world, because this unholy world will pass away and you will receive a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And you, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. You'll be graciously given a grant from heaven. Okay, Revelation chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him sitting on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who will be able to stand? So here, the throne of God is terrifying the nations of the world. The world is scared of God's authority. The world is scared of God's power. And the kings of this earth will hide in caves and throw away their idols, because they will realize that him who sits on the throne, who will suddenly be visible to them, the central power of the universe is greater than their power. And all their scheming and all their bribery and all their corruption and all the things with which they have bought their way into power and all the vile things that some people do to get power, these will be meaningless and as nothing to them. Revelation 12 and verse 5. And she bore a son, a male, who was going to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and his throne. This is talking about Jesus, and in Revelation 12, he is the child that is caught up to the throne of heaven. It's a summary of the gospel. And Jesus is going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. They will be terrified of him and of his power. He will be very severe against the wicked and the proud and the haughty. And they will be cast down, because the throne of God is at the center of the kingdom of God, and he will tolerate no other kingdoms. You cannot have a little kingdom of your own separate from the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God is coming with power and might, and the kingdom of God will rule this earth and rule this earth with a rod of iron, and no sin will be tolerated. So if you've got sin in your life, you get rid of it right now. Revelation chapter 16 and 17 and 18. Revelation chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and a great voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, it is done. And voices and thunders and lightnings occurred, and there was a great earthquake, such as had not been seen since men were on the earth, so mighty and so great an earthquake. So this is the seventh angel pouring out his vial or his bowl into the air for the final judgment. In Revelation 16, the earth is being punished, Babylon is being cast down, terrible plagues are coming on humanity, and the final wrath of God is being poured out on a wicked earth, and the seventh vial is the final one, and a great earthquake shakes the earth, and everything is cast down that is wicked and evil. And a voice comes out from the throne of heaven, from the temple, from the central holy place and the central place of power, saying, it is done. Now we see the contrast between the cross, where Jesus says, it is finished. The mercy of God came to the world then. When he said it was finished, the temple curtain tore in two, and we had access to the throne. We have access to heaven. The whole evil system of priests blocking us from God was out of the way, and we could come directly to Jesus because our sin had been dealt with and we no longer had an accuser. So there it is finished meant there was hope. But here it is done. This is the wrath of God. It means it's finished. The world is finished. The kingdoms of this world are finished. So on one hand, if you're a believer, you can go into the finished work of Christ and know that you have mercy because of the blood. You will overcome the devil by the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. The blood speaks for you in heaven. So you can go into that, it is finished. The it is finished that comes from Jesus upon the cross. Do not be on this earth when the bowl judgments are poured out in Revelation 16. Don't be left behind. God will bring his church up at some point. There's going to be a great resurrection. And then there'll be this terrible destruction poured out on the earth. And those here will gnaw their tongues in pain, and terrible things will happen. And all the kings of the earth and the kingdoms of the earth and all these gigantic countries with atomic bombs, they'll all be wiped out by the sheer power of God. Let's see some of God's judgments here in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit on the throne of his glory. And all nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall separate them from one another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And indeed he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats off on his left. Then the king shall say to those on his right hand, Come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous shall answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king shall answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you have done it to me. Then he shall also say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. I was naked, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he shall answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. And the judgment of the nations is one simple criteria, love versus selfishness. Those who enter the kingdom of God are people of love and generosity and kindness, who care for their family and their relatives and as much as they can for their community. They give food to the hungry. They give shelter to the people that have no shelter. They give water to the thirsty. They help those in prison. They go around doing good, and they share out of their heart and out of their resources, and they are people that love their neighbor as themselves, and they see other people as important and as valuable. And they go to the least of the brethren, they go to the least of the people and say, look, I'm going to help you. And in the end times, when Christians are persecuted, for Christians are the brethren of Jesus, they will take these persecuted believers and they will shelter them. And they will guide them and they will guard them and they will not let evil come to them. Because these are people of faith and these are people of love. And these people of faith and love who are generous and kind, who care for Christians and who care for people in general, these are the people that will enter into the kingdom of God as they believe in Jesus and carry out his commandments. But the people on the left, the people that are cast out, might have some notional belief in God. They seem to have that. But it's stuck in their head. It never comes out into their heart. They're still selfish. They're stingy. They don't care about their family, their friends, or their neighbor. They don't invite anyone in. They don't feed anyone who's hungry. They just take everything for themselves, and there is no generosity or kindness in their heart. They're very materialistic, and they're very selfish. And they are not obeying the commandments of God. They're not loving their neighbor as themselves. And they have no faith in God in the end times when Christians are being persecuted. They do not help the persecuted Christians. They think, that's too much trouble. I'll get in trouble for that. I'm not going to do that. I'll just go along with the Antichrist. And so these people who take the mark of the beast and follow the Antichrist and deny help to the Christians in the end times, these people, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And finally, today we're running out of time, but let's look at the great white throne. Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. And I saw a great white throne, and him sitting on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and a place was not found for them. And I saw the dead, the small and the great, stand before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead in them, and each one of them was judged according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone was not found having been written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. So you need to believe in Jesus right now. Don't be one of those people who are not found in the book of life. You need to believe in Jesus. You need to be holy. You need to obey his commandments, because there's a throne there, a great white throne. And the face of him who was sitting in it was so fierce that heaven and earth fled away. God has enormous authority even over the material universe. And you need to be holy. You need to walk with Jesus. If you're not believing in Jesus, turn around and believe in him now. Go and talk to a pastor or friend and get saved. And once you're saved, obey the commandments of Jesus and live a holy life. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be like those people who use religion for their own advantage. Don't be a selfish person. Believe in Jesus. Love your neighbor as yourself. Give of your heart and your life to those around you. Stop living a selfish life and stop living an immoral life. You need right now to trust God, because he is on the throne. And you and I, we're just people. We're just tiny little people in a big universe run by a great God. That God has a throne of grace for you if you're a believer, but it's terrifying judgment if you are not a believer. So I appeal to you now by the mercy of God. Repent, believe in Jesus Christ, and obey his commandments, and all will be well with you and your family. So cry out to God right now for mercy and grace in time of need, for he is on the throne. And this is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. That is johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.